Wednesday, May 21st, 2025. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope you had a good weekend. Hope your week is going well, and I hope that you are pushing your way towards a Memorial Day weekend, and that maybe you actually get a day off this next week, because it's going to be a little bit nicer to be sleeping in on Monday morning. Hey, I hope that you, your family, your friends, everyone is staying strong and healthy in your world right now. And you know, we are at that busy time of the season. And it's one of those times of year they kind of forget about, but it's pretty good. We are now down to the final four in both the NBA and in the NHL. In the NBA, we have the Minnesota Timberwolves facing the Oklahoma City Thunder in the West. I mean, I would think the Thunder should advance, right? They are the number one seed, but they did show some flaws against my Denver Nuggets. Hey, Minnesota's not going to be afraid of Oklahoma City. We'll see how that one goes. And then over in the East, we have the number three New York Knicks facing the number four Indiana Pacers. Hey, whoever comes out of that is going to be a surprise. Who had that lineup going into the playoffs? No one. That's who. It's going to be very interesting. Either way, we will not have a repeat champion from last year, as Boston, of course, is out. Over in Lord Stanley Cup playoffs, we have the Dallas Stars squaring off against the Edmonton Oilers in the West, which honestly, that's probably the series for who's going to win the cup. And then in the East, we have the Carolina Hurricanes facing the Florida Panthers in what most likely is going to be a really, really boring series. But that's not all. Hey, Scottie Scheffler won the PGA Championship on Sunday in pretty dominating fashion, I might add. We have the Indy 500 on Sunday morning. We have the Charlotte 600 on Sunday afternoon. I hope that you are enjoying this busy time of year in the world of sports. It is actually a little bit of an underrated time of year. Hey, remember, you should be stopping by DailyDoseSports.com every week and check out the new things we have going over there. We have links to the podcast. We have new articles going up every week. We have links to the video, and we have links to Daily Dose gear. Need a new hoodie, a new t-shirt, a new sweatshirt in your life? Make sure you're stopping by. You can always email the podcast as well at DailyDoseSports@gmail.com. So make sure you are stopping by DailyDoseSports.com each and every week. Hey, today on The Dose, we have been busy doing interviews over the past month or so, which have been really, really fun. But we have missed a few items taking place in the NFL. Today, we are going to briefly recap the NFL draft and the NFL schedule release. So let's jump into that right now. Joining us this week on The Daily Dose, we have our esteemed panel of NFL experts to break down the NFL schedule, because we haven't gotten to that yet, and to take a brief look back at the NFL draft, because we've been busy here at The Dose. We haven't gotten to that yet. So we want to take at least a brief look back, and we wanted to bring in our pros to do it. First up, we have Big Rob, who is still celebrating his Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl win back in February. Rob, have you slowed down drinking and partying at all since then?
Just a little bit, yeah. Just last week, we're finally getting back to normal.
I'm glad to hear it. Next up, we have Mike from Castle Rock, who you might recognize from some of his biggest hits, LaGrange, Give Me All Your Lovin', My Heart's in Mississippi, and Sharp Dress Man. Mike, where can we catch ZZ Top's latest tour?
Spotify and YouTube. That.
All right. All right. We'll make sure to follow along there. Finally, we have our savvy veteran, Larry from Centennial, who is fresh off of putting his skis in storage for the year. Larry, what big events do you have planned for this long, hot summer we have coming?
Skis aren't technically in storage, okay?
No?
There's still a chance, okay? So a slim one, but still a chance.
Are you still hoping to go skiing yet this spring?
The A Basin's still open. You know, there is opportunity out there, Clint, if you choose to take it. So, you know,
Larry, between you and me, though, nobody skis A Basin but losers and hippies.
I will not go on record as saying that. So,
you're the one who told me that. I'm getting my information from you. I know nothing about ski culture.
That's another veil. Oh,
I'll edit that out. I'll be sure to edit that out. Gentlemen, the NFL draft is now complete. The NFL schedule has been released. We have nothing whatsoever to look forward to until training camp begins in, I don't know, like 60 days, but who's counting? But we do have a few stories that have come out recently. Rob, the San Francisco 49ers have agreed to a 5-year contract extension with quarterback Brock Purdy worth $265 million. That contract means they're going to have less money for the weapons he already wasn't winning with. Debo Samuel's gone. Christian McCaffrey is always banged up. Would the Niners have been better off just lighting $265 million on fire?
I think so. I think they definitely overpaid, but I think they were just stuck in a tough spot. I mean, you kind of have to pay him. Probably shouldn't have. So I get why they did, but I think it's going to come back to haunt him.
Yeah, I do too. We see these quarterbacks take these big deals. And you know, Patrick Mahomes is a good example. Tom Brady was a good example. I know Elway did it for years here. They take a little bit less. They have more to spread the wealth around to their teammates. I don't know. It seems like he already wasn't winning with those weapons. Now he's going to eventually have less weapons down the road. That seems like that might be a recipe for disaster. We will see. Mike, it was announced a couple of weeks ago that New Orleans Saints quarterback Derek Carr was going to retire because of a shoulder injury. But there's also speculation that maybe he retired because the Saints wanted to restructure that big contract. Mike, what's really going on here? And more importantly, did you have any idea Derek Carr was still in the NFL?
Well, you know, he retires as the king of mediocrity, right?
I mean,
he's good enough just to give you hope, but not good enough to put you into the playoffs or anything like
Correct.
That. I think he holds the record for most losses in seasons 1 through 11 and then tied for season 12. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I think it's a good thing for the Saints that he's retiring.
I do too.
I don't know what you're going to start over with, but you got to start somewhere, right? So yeah. Who knows? I mean, if he doesn't want to play for a bad team and call it retirement, that's his choice, I guess.
Well, and Spencer Rattler was literally no different last year. You couldn't tell when one was in and one was out. So what difference does it make? You might as well have the guy that makes way less money. Larry B, Atlanta Falcons still have Kirk Cousins. The Cincinnati Bengals are still arguing with Trey Hendrickson about a new contract. I know we're told these NFL front offices are smart, but we've got a lot of proof that they're just drunken fools, don't we?
Probably. There's more than just those two examples, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we hear this every year, though, on the Trey Hendrickson thing, right? That deal's probably going to get done, although Cincinnati has probably spent more than they're used to, right? They're uncomfortable right now. But that will probably get done. You can't let a guy like that go, I don't think, and not, you know, have severe repercussions for it. The Cousins deal is really strange.
Yeah.
Right? They drafted Penix last year. He's still there. They're smart if Cousins is willing to be a backup and you have a veteran backup on the squad that's going to tutor and mentor, you know, the kid. That's smart. So I'm not a fan of just getting rid of him to get rid of him. It could be a valuable asset to a young kid, but from outward appearance, it doesn't look like, you know, or we don't know that that's their plan. We think that they just are kind of, you know, scrambling around.
I'm going to go around the horn on this one and kind of gauge what you think. But so far, we didn't see it at the draft, and I thought we might. We didn't see it in free agency. I thought we might. Aaron Rodgers has not signed anywhere yet. Is he waiting for training camp to be complete? Is there a team he's looking at? Is there a team that actually wants him? Rob, is Aaron Rodgers going to go anywhere this year? Is he going to be playing this year?
I think so. I think he still has a little bit left and he's just waiting until training camp is over. So that's not a story, you know, him missing camp and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to give it one last go. Looks like it's going to be the Steelers.
Yeah. That's what I'm kind of thinking too. Maybe Pittsburgh. Mike, you got anything else? You think Aaron's going to end up in Pittsburgh?
Probably. I think he reserved the Tiki Hut or whatever the hell he was smoking his peyote in for an extra long time this offseason. So. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where the signs are pointing. You know, I guess they're talking supposedly, but who knows? I mean, it's he's such an oddball. You just don't know what's on that guy's mind.
Larry, Joshua Tree is a long ways from Pittsburgh. Where is Aaron Rodgers going to end up?
I think all signs point to Pittsburgh. He's just waiting for them to, you know, grovel and beg. That we've seen this before too, right? So it's nothing different. He's just, you know, he wants to be wanted, and that's kind of what he's waiting for.
The NFL schedule was released last week, and we can see that the league, it's clearly got some biases. The Kansas City Chiefs get 7 primetime games. It's a lot of games to be in primetime. That might be good for KC. It might not. The Dallas Cowboys get 6. That seems really high to me. The Miami Dolphins, Atlanta Falcons, bizarrely, Detroit Lions, Washington Commanders, Buffalo Bills, Los Angeles Chargers, and San Francisco 49ers get 5 games in primetime. Meanwhile, the Tennessee Titans, New Orleans Saints, and Cleveland Browns get 0 primetime games. I'm going to go around the horn on this one as well. First off, did the NFL get this right? Does seem like there's a little bit of odd things there. And who, in your opinion, right now is the least watchable team in the NFL? Rob, I'll start off with you. Who's the team you least want to watch in primetime?
Probably the Jets, I'm going to say.
See, I thought the same thing, and no one's talking about the Jets, but they're still awful, aren't they?
Yeah, with Rodgers gone, you don't really even have a story now. I feel like at least, you know, they weren't good last year, but at least there was the story there. Yeah, I look forward, you know, to the rebuild. I think they'll get it right eventually, but this season, that's a team I'm not looking forward to watching.
Yeah, I don't want to see the Jets anywhere near primetime. I think it's going to be what? The Justin Fields show? Is that who's running things? I don't even know. The Jets are going to be horrible. Mike, who's the worst team in the NFL to watch? Who do you not want to watch?
I'd have to say the Saints. That's a mess over there. So nothing intriguing, no good storylines, no player that you just got to see play. I could care less about seeing the Saints on primetime.
Quick, name a player other than Spencer Rattler on the roster. I don't even know. I have no idea.
Olave.
Rogers. I think George Rogers is still down there.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough. You got Kamara, you know, who's on the downside.
Oh, yeah, he's still down there, isn't he?
Yeah. There's just nothing exciting about that team.
Larry, you're up. Who's the most unwatchable team in the NFL right now?
Yeah, I have to go with the Saints too. Okay. They were going to be my choice. If I have to be a little bit different, I guess I'll say, I don't know, the Titans. Until proven otherwise, right? They just, there's no sex appeal at all. They've never been exciting, you know, over recent history. So and given that, you know, they come here, it was kind of a yawner a little bit, but you know.
Yeah, they're going to be tough to watch. I mean, they got the top pick, and maybe that makes them a little more intriguing. I'm going to throw out a team that I think is going to be truly dreadful, and you know, Rob touched on it earlier, but the Jets. But the Giants are going to be horrible to watch too. The only thing good about it is that quarterback room is going to just be wild. I don't know what to expect. I want a Hard Knocks in the Giants quarterback room and maybe in Cleveland's quarterback room, because that would be pretty special. Look at what is up there with the Giants. You got Russell Wilson. They're in like spring workouts right now. And my guy is out there in full pads and a helmet. And like, he's got probably some new dumb saying. He's saying, look at the quarterbacks in that room though. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be, they go get a rookie. They got the kid from last year. Isn't Jameis in that room too?
Yeah.
Jameis is going to be in there talking about wind. I don't know. It's going to be amazing, but they're going to be tough to watch. That Giants team is going to be bad. And I'm pretty excited to watch that. And you know, we touched on him earlier. Maybe Aaron Rodgers goes there, but what if he doesn't? Pittsburgh might be really, really bad to watch. I know Mike Tomlin's going to find a way to win 8-9 games or whatever. They're not going to be much fun to watch. They were horrible to watch last year. We watched them a couple games last year, and I was like, oh my goodness, this is terrible. Yeah, there's a few unwatchable teams. I'm just grateful for a change. Denver's not one of them, because for the last decade, it feels like we have been the most unwatchable team out there. Okay. Season schedule came out, and we know who's going to play. We just don't know exactly when and where and what and those kind of things, but we already know the schedule. And yet, the NFL still pulls more viewers than the NBA finals and the Stanley Cup Finals and Major League Baseball, anything, it's still pulling everyone to watch. Well, when do we play? Who do we play? Who gets the Christmas game? Who gets the Thanksgiving game? We're all in on the NFL. Rob, I know you're going to be hyped for the season opener as the Dallas Cowboys are coming to Philadelphia to face your Eagles in that opener. But we also get on that Friday night, so that's Thursday night. On Friday night, we get the Kansas City Chiefs at the LA Chargers in Brazil. I don't know if I want to watch the game or watch what's going on in the stadium. Either way. And then Monday night, we get Minnesota at Chicago. Not a bad game, Rob. I know you're going to be hyped for your opener, but would you have rather seen it against a better opponent than Dallas? Or are you good with that opener?
No. Start the season off with a win. Perfectly okay with that.
Do you like these other games on the opening slate? It looks like a pretty good lineup in week one.
Yeah, not bad. Plus, like I said, football's back. So, I mean, yes. I pretty much watch anything.
Absolutely. I'm going to watch everything that week. And I don't want to go through every week because we're not ESPN trying to just fill time. We don't need to do that. But I'm going to jump forward because, Mike, the Thanksgiving schedule got retouched a little bit this year. No longer do we have that stupid 10 a.m. game. They pushed that back to 11. Nobody was watching the first half anyways because everybody's busy getting their turkey stuffed. But in that first game, we get the Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions. Not bad. At 2:30, we get Kansas City going to Dallas. I mean, it's a game in which we hope both lose, but still, entertaining game. And at 6:20, we get the Cincinnati Bengals at the Baltimore Ravens. Now, right now, we're in, you know, late May. It's a long ways away. All these games look great on Thanksgiving, but we know it doesn't work out that way. Mike, which of these six teams is going to bottom out and force us to actually talk to our families on Thanksgiving?
Oh, boy. Of those, you almost got to say the Cowboys.
Yes.
Every year, right? I mean, will they be healthy? Who's running the ball? I mean, it's the Cowboys, right? Yeah. So I would think of those five. I think they'll do a little better than last year. I just don't think that they're going to be, you know, a juggernaut this year. So
yeah, I would agree with that. And you know, the interesting part about what you just said, who's going to be healthy, who's going to be running the ball, I think both the answers to that are Jerry Jones. Larry, Christmas this year is on Thursday, and we get a pretty solid lineup on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. Once again, the Dallas Cowboys will go to Washington to face the Commanders. Pretty good rivalry. That's at 11. The Detroit Lions go to Minnesota to play the Vikings at 2:30. And our Denver Broncos go to Arrowhead Stadium to face the Kansas City Chiefs at 6:15 p.m. All three of these games, again, should have playoff implications. Should be pretty good. But, Larry, I just feel like we're going to get some coal in our stocking on Sunday night, aren't we?
We are. Yeah. I mean, if what was just mentioned, the Dallas is bottoming out, you know, on Thanksgiving, imagine what Christmas will be like, right? See?
Yes.
And, you know, I don't know. I'm okay with the schedule as a whole. The outlier, I think, for me was Dallas, the number of primetime games, right? But the NFL is putting more games on primetime, so that's, you got to fill them, and you can't fill them with, you know, the Titans and the Clevelands.
No.
So, you know, some teams, and Jerry is going to always have his say in some of that. He's got a big voice, so he's going to get what he wants. I do think the Cowboys will maybe a little bit better, but it's going to be tough for them over the course of the season. They'd be my pick to be the dog.
Yeah, I would agree with that. You know, we've got a little bit of a weird thing going on in the NFL because we've seen a couple times, they usually do it on opening weekend. They didn't do that this year. They put double headers on Monday night. Well, this year in week 2, 4, 6, and 7, they have doubleheaders. Now, maybe I'm crazy, but are all these just to spite Major League Baseball? Rob, is the NFL just trying to just go at Major League Baseball and like, hey, we own Christmas now. Sorry, NBA. We own the fall. Sorry, college football. Like, they own everything. And also Major League Baseball, you get nothing and like it.
I think so. Just the takeover. They started slow. They've crept into Christmas now. And so, yeah, I think this is just their grand plan to take over every day of the week.
I do too. I really think they're just like, hey, we're going to do whatever we want, and there is nothing anybody can do about it. And if you don't like it, too bad, because they are owning the sports landscape right now, and it is not even close. We've also got a slate of international games this year. Now, we talked about Christmas, Thanksgiving. There's some good lineups. We talked about opening weekend. There's some good games that weekend. Here's a few of the international games. Chiefs versus Chargers, we talked about in Brazil, week one. Steelers versus Vikings in Dublin in week four. Okay, maybe. Vikings versus Browns in week five in London. Sorry about it, London. Broncos versus Jets in London week six. Ugh. Rams versus Jaguars in London October 19th. Falcons versus Colts in Berlin November 9th. What in the world did Germany do to get that awful? Never mind. We know what they did. And finally, Dolphins versus Commanders in Madrid in November. Now, you look at those, and some of them are decent. Some of them are... We just hate England, don't we? I mean, you can just see. We can't stand England. Hey, maybe you shouldn't have taxed us the way you did, because we're still mad about it, and the NFL is showing that for sure. A couple things to keep in mind, too. Based on last year's result, and that, you know how that goes, because teams change. We talk about that every year. Teams go up and down. But toughest schedules right now, and the softest schedules right now. Softest schedule is going to go to the San Francisco 49ers, at least right now. Then the New Orleans Saints. Then the New England Patriots. Now, I only say that because we're going to have some Patriot honks coming in, and they're going to be saying how they're back, and it's all good now. And well, you're going to be playing a soft schedule, so I expect them to look better. On the other side, toughest schedule, New York Giants, Chicago Bears, and Detroit Lions. Now, that doesn't always rate out 100%, but there is some interesting aspects to that, because a lot, you know, those teams, Chicago, Detroit, they've got some high expectations. They might be facing a little bit tougher of a schedule than they think that they will. Finally, we have early and late bye weeks. I just want to discuss really, really quick. The Steelers, Bears, Packers, and Falcons have their bye week in week five. Fellas, that's a long way to go the rest of the season when you go, you already get your bye out of the way in week five. And then Giants, Patriots, Panthers, and Niners are going to be trying to get to week 14 to get a bye. That's a long way to go. Holy cow. If you're banged up and you're injured, good luck, because you have a long way to get there. Rob, is there any advantage in the early and late bye weeks, or is it just how it falls?
No, I think definitely the late bye week seems to be always a benefit. Like yeah. You mentioned, you know, because of injuries and stuff, if you can hang on a little bit, you can kind of hopefully rest up on a late bye week and get ready for that playoff push if you're in the mix still.
Mike, they're going to have an easy schedule. They've got a better coach. They can't be any worse. And then they get that late bye week. Are the Patriots, are we going to have to hear about the Patriots again? I'm already sick of them.
Probably. I actually kind of like what they did in the draft.
I do too.
May looks pretty good. I like the coach. They do have an easier schedule. You get to play the Jets twice a year, so yes. There you go. Yeah, they're nowhere near going to be, the pain that they were during the Brady Belichick era, but they're slowly coming on. You got to give them a little due.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Larry, we know that every year expectations do funny things to teams, and you have teams coming in this year like Chicago, Dallas seems like every year, you know, I guess maybe a little bit even here in Denver, you've got expectations that you haven't had recently. How are those teams going to deal with those things? Are they going to be able to live up to them? Or are they going to fall well short of what the expectations are?
Both. Right. Yeah. It, schedule means a lot when it comes to that part of the conversation.
It does.
So if you've got high expectations, or if you're gravitating towards higher expectations, and you've had a little easier schedule because you were, you know, crappy last year, then a little easier to fulfill, you know, your goals. But, you know, everything changes. We know that. We've talked about it before. There's going to be a worst to first and vice versa. Injuries have a lot to do with it. It's going to flush out the way it does. Good teams, the good, well-run, well-managed, well-owned teams are going to be more successful than the crappy ones. If I was a Jets fan, my expectations wouldn't be high. And, you know, I'd leave them at the bottom.
Agreed.
And the point you made about Pittsburgh is absolutely true. Like, if they don't do something on the offensive side of the ball, that's a tough watch. And, you know, Pittsburgh expectations are, you know, let's just not have a losing season.
Right.
You'd think it would be different, but if that's their expectation, then maybe they're hitting their goals, right?
Well, and it's funny because you look at Pittsburgh, they don't have losing seasons. They just don't. But they don't really have anything to feel that great about either. Going 9-8 every year is not that fun. And right. You get nothing in the draft. They just keep doing that again and again. Speaking of the NFL draft, Mike brought that up just a minute ago. The 2025 NFL draft completed a few weeks ago. And no, we didn't jump in and give you our way too early, you know, reviews on how everyone did. But now the dust has settled a little bit. We're going to take a look at what really happened in the NFL draft that everyone else got wrong. First up, the Tennessee Titans were desperate for a face for their franchise. And with the top pick, they select Miami quarterback Cam Ward. Hey, Cam Ward shows flashes. He has some big-time talent. Sometimes he does some silly things, but he looked like the best quarterback in the class. Rob, you follow the Titans a little bit. Was Cam Ward the right pick here?
I think so. Like I said, you have to take a shot on a quarterback. Wasn't a great class overall for quarterbacks, but yeah, I can't blame him with taking him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He did enough to be the top pick in this year's draft. He looks like he's probably the best quarterback in this draft. They are desperate for anything to feel good about in that franchise, so I think you had to take him. Next up, the Jacksonville Jaguars traded away two first rounders and a second rounder to Cleveland, and Jacksonville moved up three picks. They selected Colorado wide receiver and maybe defensive back Travis Hunter to revive quarterback Trevor Lawrence's fading career. I know there's a lot of talk about whether Hunter's going to play offense or play defense. Maybe he's going to play both. But Mike, I kind of think he has to play both because one, the Jags defense is terrible. And two, he's going to have to run down guys that are going for a pick six on Lawrence. So he's got to play both ways, doesn't he?
Yeah, right. Maybe on the same play, right? Yeah. I mean, he is most likely the best DB on that team as a rookie, right?
Probably.
So yeah. I think you got to put that in there. And then, of course, you're going to put him as a weapon out there for Lawrence. He put him on the other side of Brian Thomas Jr. That's a heck of a outside duo there.
Yeah. And if Trevor Lawrence could hit it with one of them, it's going to be very, very impressive. Here's an interesting thought about Travis Hunter, because we know last year what he did at CU was unbelievable. The number of snaps that he had was incredible. Does anybody know, little trivia for the listeners out there, he just completed the season most snaps ever in a college football season. Does anybody know who is second? No, no one knows. Okay, moving forward. Larry, of course, the biggest story of the NFL draft in 2025 was the fact that a quarterback that threw 83 touchdowns and had nearly 10,000 yards of passing in his career, he didn't get selected until the sixth round. Larry, why in the world did Ohio State National Championship quarterback Will Howard fall so far? And why is it because of racism?
I don't know that I am qualified to answer anything of what you've just thrown out there. Yeah, it was super wild, wasn't it? The whole quarterback crazy. Rob mentioned, wasn't a great class, but man, you know, there's so much value you put on quarterbacks that you expect them to be higher in the draft. And one particular from Colorado that we, you know, everybody, I guess, thought was going to be, you know, picked higher. But, I guess that is the proof right there, how bad the class was, right? Because you've got teams out there, NFL teams out there that need quarterback play. And they didn't think enough of a number of candidates to choose them higher in the draft. It's not translating from, you know, the college position to the NFL position, unless you're, you know, Caleb Williams, who didn't really translate either. He needs good coaching that he hopefully is going to get now, you know, his second year in the NFL. But that's what they're not getting in college anymore. And I think that's just, you know, the way it's going to be. You got to be an incredible candidate who's been in college, and maybe we'll see him stay longer with the NIL stuff. But yeah, there's not a lot of top-notch candidates out there.
Okay, we've got to go around the horn. We've got to address the elephant in the room. Rob, why in the world did Colorado Shedeur Sanders fall clear to the third day. What in the world was going on? Was this a conspiracy? What in the world happened? Why did Shedeur fall so far?
No, I don't think it was a conspiracy. I just think that the teams that needed a quarterback, I don't think the talent matched the, and I'm going to say baggage. That's probably the wrong word.
It's the right word.
But just everything that came along with it, you know? I think, you know, because of that baggage, you know, the talent had to be supreme. I think he's a very good quarterback, and I just think they were just worried about the extras and passed on him. But, I mean, quarterback is crazy. Like we just mentioned Purdy, you know, Mr. Irrelevant. He just inked a deal a couple of years later, so it's always a tough pick. But I just think the extras they were worried about, and that's why he ended up sliding.
I do too. Mike, do you have anything different? Here's a question I have. Mike, you're the head coach of the New York Giants. As soon as you draft Shedeur, what's the first question everybody's asking? When's dad taking over for you? Are you going to draft Shedeur?
Yeah, well, it's funny you mentioned the Giants because, you know, there's stories out there that he completely bombed the interview there, right?
Yeah.
They gave him, you know, I don't know, 15 plays or something like that to study, and he didn't bother to do it, and he was too cocky. Now, they may be exaggerating, you know. If you're talking before the draft, you're lying, right? Is the whole
that's
story.
True.
So who knows how much of that was true? But if that was true, you know, these guys talk, right? The owners talk. So
sure.
I think that kind of spread around. And I think his dad may have had a little bit to do with it. I don't know. But honestly, if this truly humbled him, I think it might be the best thing that could have happened to him. If he was a first or second round pick, I think he went in there with the attitude. Now maybe he's got a chip on his shoulder and thinks he knows he's got to truly earn it and deserve it. So we'll see. It's going to be an interesting story.
Larry, ESPN was furious that Shedeur didn't go earlier. We saw Mel Kiper up there pounding the table, calling people out. What was going on? Why didn't anybody want the best quarterback to be coming out supposedly from the ESPN crew?
Well, Mel Kiper's missed before. He certainly knows more than I do. But that equation that Rob talked
about. No, he doesn't.
that equation that Rob talked about is a real thing. Like the baggage has to, you know, be less than the talent. And there's enough desperate NFL teams out there that if he was that good, he would be on their team right now. And he would have been picked in the first or second round. Just because that's how teams win. They win with excellent quarterback play, right? And if a desperate owner needed a quarterback, he would have been that could change the trajectory of his team. He'd be on their team right now, and they didn't feel that way. So, and I'm with Mike too. Like I'm not rooting against him. Like if he thinks there's a, you know, if he's got something to prove, then it'll be fun to watch and see if he's turns into an awesome player. That'll be great.
If I were to just tell you, I'm just going to, you don't see the candidate. If I were to just tell you, I've got a 6-foot quarterback. He weighs 180 pounds. He went 1-7 versus ranked teams. And the only people telling us he should be drafted high are his dad and ESPN, who like Shedeur's mother, sleep with his dad, then what? Come on. I mean, it's not hard to figure out. I hate to say, but Rob said it best. Your talent must outweigh your baggage. We saw it with Shedeur. We saw it with Colin Kaepernick. We saw it with Tim Tebow. If the talent doesn't outweigh the baggage, what is the benefit for me taking you? If we have even say last year, one of those top guys, you know, you mentioned Caleb Williams. If he'd had bags off the field, do you think anybody would have took him? Of course they would, because he's really good, and he's a big, strong kid, and he showed he can win, and he showed his ass. Shedeur's going to have to prove it. You're a little guy that didn't perform well against the best talent when you saw it and really put up a lot of numbers in daddy's system against soft teams. So I get it. I know conspiracy was out there. I'm not buying it. All right, moving forward in the draft, we're going to get past that silly nonsense. And we are going to get to this. Did anybody have a draft class that you liked? And if you've got one or two, we'll go around a couple of times if we need to. But Rob, did you have a draft class that you look at in 2025 and you say, I really like what that team did in the draft? They may have found a few gems out there.
Well, I'm going to say the Bears for me. And I'm going to lump in just their offseason as well. Specifically, you know, I like Ben Johnson, the coach. I think he'll get the most out of Caleb. And then drafting and free agency, lots of O-line and defensive line. So I think that's a team that, you know, seems like they had a plan and tried to plug in the spots that they needed. So I really like the Bears draft and their, you know, offseason as well.
Rob, you bring up a good point, because we also noticed this in this NFL draft, especially in that first round where there were no quarterbacks really to take. We saw teams beefing up on the offensive and defensive line. It's probably going to pay off in the long run. I know teams want to take the sexy pick. Sometimes the not sexy pick is what pays dividends. Mike, who had a draft class that you really liked this year in the NFL?
Yeah, I kind of touched on it earlier, but I did like the Patriots, right? You got a young quarterback, so they did the smart and non-sexy thing and took the top offensive tackle in the draft. They took their starting center in the draft. Boy, I like the running back they took, too. They beefed up the offensive line, got him another weapon, so I like what they did. I was sorely disappointed that the Raiders didn't Raider and completely screw up the first-round pick.
Yeah.
And got what looks to be a generational running back. So we got to see it twice a year for who knows how long. And I'm going to go a little homer here. I like at least the first and second round picks for the Broncos. I mean, there were 18 million NFL mock drafts, and not a single one of them hit on the Broncos first round pick with the DB from Texas. But wow.
Well, that's because everyone expected him to be gone before they ever got on the board.
Yeah. I mean, holy, no fly zone again. Hello. That
could be.
That defense just got really good, and I love the running back and Peyton system. I think both those picks are going to shine. The third and fourth day guys, we'll see what kind of roles they fill. Maybe they happen upon a miracle with the guy who's caught three passes in his career as a tight end. But
big kid.
Yeah, he is. And maybe he's Julius Thomas. I don't know. Maybe. We'll see.
Larry, who do you have? Did you have a draft class that you liked in the NFL this year?
Well, I think the two that were mentioned here are, I think, the most obvious. I'll go out on a limb here and say the Jags, right? Jaguars. Okay. I think, you know, they had the most. Getting Hunter was for them was game changer, right? So
we're
going to have a lot of people tuning in to watch and see just from that perspective, I think. And and I think they did kind of do some other things. They had a pretty solid draft, if not above average. So now will they screw it up? Probably. But from just a pure, did they have a good draft or not? Yeah, I think they had a great draft. So
yeah, I would agree with that. You know, there's a team out there that seems to always get things wrong. I kind of like what the Arizona Cardinals did this year. They didn't go sexy. Same thing. They went out and tried to find guys that are going to beef up their lines on both sides of the ball. They didn't have to go get a quarterback. They didn't have to go get a wide receiver. They went and they got what looks like could be some guys that could last a little while. And I really like what they did. I can't believe I'm saying it, but I kind of like what the Arizona Cardinals did. Maybe they're going to build something and get to the playoffs at least. Rob, did you have any other teams that you liked in the NFL draft?
No, but I did want to echo the Broncos as the non-Bronco fan on here, especially on the defensive side of the ball, because the defense was already, you know, was already good, top 10 defense. And I really like that they, added to that as well. A couple offensive pieces, but I like the defensive pickups as well.
Yeah, I would agree. Mike, you got anything else, or are those all your teams that you like?
Yeah, I mean, those are, you know, there's a few pretty good ones overall. It seems like we say this every year. Philly had an unbelievable defense to fall to.
They had some people fall to him.
Do a thing. It's every year. That guy's a stud.
Yeah, and he
fell right in their laps.
He's going to fit perfectly up.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, and Rob's there giggling, going, "Yep, damn right."
Every single year, it seems like they're just crushing it.
It's just the luck. You win the Super Bowl, and then you have that guy fall to you. Unreal. So
unbelievable. Larry, what about you? Anybody else out there? Because I've got one more if you don't, but do you have anybody else that you really like?
No, take it away. I think I've mentioned all the teams that I kind of had thrown out there or mentioned. So,
well, it's kind of the same thing that Mike just said, a team that kind of just seems like they're doing it every year. I kind of like what the Baltimore Ravens did. They went out there and again, got a very, very good pass rusher. They went out there and again, got a replacement. No, you don't want to draft a kicker, but they found a guy because they need a kicker. I don't know if you guys have heard. They've got a kicker having some problems. And yeah, it sounds like he could be signed by the Cleveland Browns any minute now. But the kicking problem in Baltimore could have been shored up. But once again, it seems like people just fall to the Ravens. They're like, why did they fall to them? They got a really good pass rusher, and they seem to just find people at spots that they need the most. Now let's get to the fun stuff. Rob, who had the draft that you hated that did a horrible job? Who's your draft team that you hated?
One I didn't like was the Bengals. I know they, you know, wrapped up Chase and Higgins, which they had to do. They need to do Henderson as well. But outside of that, defense and O-line is obviously a problem, a serious problem, and I didn't think they tried to address that at all. So, you know, I get trying to bring back who you had to, but again, everything else should have been focused on either defense or the offensive line, and they didn't do that. So,
We say it every year. When are they going to protect Joe Burrow? Well, guess what? It ain't going to be again this year. And every year it's like, oh, we did a little bit. And then the guy gets killed again and they can't figure out why. I mean, insanity is doing the same thing again and again and again. Mike, do you have a draft that you hated?
I do. Mike, much about New Orleans pick.
Yes. Agreed.
I can't even think of the kid's name. The quarterback that they did in round two,
Tyler Shough.
Yeah. Have you seen his highlight? Isn't even a term for it. Have you seen his film?
Yes.
Did you see his pro day film?
Right.
Oh,
it's unreal. I can do that.
There were 3, 4, 5 much better quarterback prospects than that guy versus a round two. I don't get it. That was terrible. For that pick alone, I hated New Orleans draft.
Agreed. Can I throw out a theory? It's just a theory. Are the Saints just full on tanking in hopes of getting Arch Manning in a year? Larry, do you have a draft team that you absolutely hated?
Well, from top to bottom in the draft, any team that didn't, you know, take a quarterback higher. And again, I'm not a talent evaluator, but there's probably talent out there, and to go into the season much like Pittsburgh is now, relying on, you know, signing a veteran, you know, we think
risky.
I think is kind of irresponsible. Now maybe they think they have them on the staff, but those are the things, like, you know, you got to make the moves to get somebody in place there sooner rather than later, because we certainly saw it here where you know, it sets you back years if you don't have either a rookie that you're paving the path for, or a second or third year guy that is, you know, you're firmly entrenching in there. So Any team that doesn't have like what their plan is for a quarterback starting training camp is already 2 years behind. Agreed. So, yeah.
I'm going to throw out a team, and we just talked about them a minute ago, but I've got to throw out the Cleveland Browns. I didn't like their draft. One, they did pass on Travis Hunter. They could have had Travis Hunter. Maybe that would have been a good fit. I don't know. They went and they got more draft capital. So I won't fault them for that. But we've got to think about this. Cleveland got more picks. We know what Cleveland does with picks. Cleveland should have less picks. They screw them up every year. Why would you want more picks? That's not a good thing. Then they go out and they draft, you know, the quarterback out of Oregon. They go get Gabriel. And great. Okay, cool. And then they go back and get Sam. I don't know what they're doing. Who is running things in Cleveland? It's just a disaster. I don't understand what they did, and I don't know that they really got much help for Myles Garrett, who kind of wanted to quit until they gave him all that money. I don't know. They could add Ashton Jenny. They could add, you know, they obviously could have went out and had Hunter. It just seems like Cleveland just botched it again, like they always do. Rob, you got anybody else that you hated their draft?
Yeah, another one I'll give you was the Dolphins.
Okay,
that's one I just feel like didn't really do a lot. Kind of a try to address the lines. They obviously should have, I think, look for a quarterback. You know, that's another team that definitely probably should, you know, try to invest in a backup QB. But yeah, that's a team just didn't really do a whole lot and, you know, could end up sliding this year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what they do because they've still got a lot of eggs in one basket. And that basket has some cracks in the helmet. Mike, you got any other teams that you did not like their draft?
They didn't have much to do with. The Vikings, I think, only had five picks.
And did nothing with them. You're right.
Yeah, and didn't really do much with them. So, yeah, it wasn't really a great, you know, trying to build around a rookie, right? So, yeah, we'll see. Or, well, not rookie next year, but.
Well, and but, Mike, if you had said going into it, what is the biggest need for those Minnesota Vikings? Somewhere in there, you probably would have said defensive back because we saw their defense last year wasn't very good. They didn't draft a single defensive back with the few picks they did have. That seems a little odd to me because there were some DBs out there that might have been worth picking. They decided they're better than that. They don't need that. They're moving on. I agree. Larry, you got any other drafts that you did not like?
Yeah, I'll just say the Jets because it's fun to just say the Jets. So.
Why not?
Yeah.
I have no idea what they did, but you know what? I know you're right. It's because you're right every year if you say that. You can always say that. No, that's 100% true. Fellas, we have now a long stretch of about 2 months, 2.5 months, until we get some real NFL stuff happening. I don't know how I'm going to make it. It's going to be very difficult. We have a long, hot summer, you know, ahead. My Colorado Avalanche, gone. Denver Nuggets, gone. We have no Major League Baseball in Colorado. Rob, what in the world are we going to be doing until football season? What's on your agenda? We're just going to finish off with that. What are you going to be watching until football season gets here? Because I have nothing.
Oh, well, I am going to hang on to the NBA and NHL playoffs. They have been good, so it's not all bad.
Yeah,
it's not all bad. So I'm just going to hang on those for a couple more weeks. Before
is there
I really have
anybody you're rooting for? Do you have someone out there you're rooting for? Is someone you're keeping an eye on? Are you going to see if Knicks fans' head will just explode if they actually get to the finals?
Yeah, I think that's the default option is the Knicks, just because they've gone absolutely crazy and they just made the finals. So yeah, as they keep advancing, that just entertaining just based on that fan base. But yeah, I think both sides of the conferences will be good. So I'm going to hang on to that as long as I can.
Rob, I'm watching Stephen A. and Spike Lee making out at half court. It's just unbelievable. I kind of keep hoping they win and then get to the very, very end and do the Knicks thing and just crash and burn hard because I just think that's what's coming. All right, Mike, we have nothing else to watch. We're literally on football watch starting now because we don't have baseball in the state. What are you going to be watching until football season finally gets here?
Yeah, it's who knows, right? I mean, the weather's turning, so there's going to be some more outdoor activities, which is going to be nice finally. Like Rob, maybe not as much, but you know, maybe at least with one eye, I'll be paying attention to the NBA. It's interesting that this is, what, the seventh year in a row that there will not be a
– yeah.
Not repeat, but a second champion. It's going to be a new champion. That's
new champion. Has to be a new champion.
Yes, 7-8 years in a row. That's pretty wild. That's got to be one of the longest stretches in NBA history that something like that's happened, because you think of all the dynasties and you know, teams that, you know, won 2 out of 3 years or 4 out of 7 years or something like that. So that's an interesting storyline. But I don't know. It's the dry season for us.
For sure. For sure. The NBA will be interesting. And in the NHL, I'm just cheering for not the Stars. Larry, finish this off. Who will you be, or who or what will you be watching until football starts? What do you got going? Are you watching, I don't know, ice dancing, lacrosse? I have no idea.
No, I think we should all get on the tennis bandwagon. So
is that the deal?
Well, yeah. I mean, Roland Garros is coming up. We got the French Open. So, challenge out to you guys to like turn tennis on once in a while. I don't
know. Does Bjorn Borg still play?
I don't. Yeah. I met Yvonne Lendl. I have no idea. Who are we watching in tennis? I don't.
Andre Agassi.
Yes. I remember Agassi. He had long hair. See,
that's why I think we should all watch. We should get familiar with
the new John McEnroe.
With the youngsters, the youngsters.
We need a new John McEnroe. Truer words have not been spoken on this podcast.
They don't wear terry cloth headbands anymore, I don't think.
Boo.
But I might be wrong. What do I know?
I'll be honest. I have been watching a little bit of golf. I watch it a little bit. It's just not, it's not quite as fun when we don't have, you know, the huge name out there. But there's a few, you know, Scottie Scheffler, obviously very, very good. We've seen a little bit of history take place this year. So I'll watch, you know, hey, Rory actually got it done. Yeah. It finally happened. We didn't think it ever would, but it finally happened. So yeah, there's a couple things to watch, but honestly, I'm just going to be watching, I don't know, something on Netflix. When does the new season of Landman start? I don't know. I got nothing. I have nothing going on. All right, let's finish this nonsense off. Rob, you got any final thoughts as we make the final push into the long, hot summer?
No, just hope it goes by fast. I know we got NFL obviously coming up. I think I saw college football, 100 days, something like that. So
yes,
the countdown is on. Just waiting.
I would agree with that. What about you, Mike? How are we going to survive? What do you got going?
Yeah, same thing, right? Just see if there's a new series that we could pick up. We're kind of caught up on all the other ones. Like you said, Landman, I'm waiting for Tulsa King too. So
okay.
There's... You know, like I said, get out and do some hiking once the rest of the snow melts and just pass the time.
Agreed. Larry, finish this off. We touched on the schedule. We touched on the draft. You always are bringing something to the table. You brought tennis to the table. What else you got for us as we finish off the Daily Dose here?
Well, I'm going to need you guys to come over mid-July and help me build a garage.
Done.
So tool belt.
I have one of those.
Yeah, half shirt.
Wait,
half
no, shirt, I don't. I have jeans, a regular belt.
Half shirt, cut off jeans, and and you know, some hard toed boots. You can get down at Army Navy Surplus. That's the outfit. So I expect you guys. I'll give you dates later.
You got a weird HOA, man.
You're telling me.
Holy cow. That's a lot of demands there. Seems like there's a lot of things going on.
We like to call it the uniform here where I live.
I'm gonna take all those things into consideration and I'm gonna make sure that come mid-July, I am nowhere near your house. Well, as usual, I want to thank you guys for coming on the Daily Dose, giving us the insight that we can get nowhere else. Who else is going to give you tool belts, jeans, shorts, half shirts, and tennis? No one else is giving you that. We're giving you that here right now. Gentlemen, honestly, thank you for stopping by the Dose. As usual, we will be in touch soon, and get ready because the fall will be here before we know it. Hey, next week on The Dose, we do have a number of things going on in the sports world right now, including those NBA and Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll be catching you up on all that is going on in the world as only we can, so be sure to check out The Dose, and be sure you let a friend know. Do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you so much to each member of our illustrious panel for their contributions to The Daily Dose, and I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails, thank you for the texts, thank you for the tweets, but more than anything, thank you for sharing the show, for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a very safe and a very happy Memorial Day.